Welcome, everybody, to the special curling edition of the CCB Health and Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Van Praet, and today we're going to recount a little bit of this past week's action at the 2018 Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championship. As you guys know, I was out there participating in this Bonspiel as part of Team Ontario, and I'm truly honored to have that opportunity to be out there and experience the high-end curling that certainly took place. So today, my real hope here is to give you a bit of insight behind the scenes take on what happened, and just let you know how the week went. Initially, I had planned to do a bunch of different podcasts along the way, but man, oh man, was it a packed schedule! And as you'll find out in a minute or two, it was a pretty busy schedule. But I have a few interviews for you, so sit back and relax. So we're going to do our first interview with one of our coaches, give you a tiny bit of an insight onto how the coaches participate here in the Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championship. I'll do a really quick recount of some of the action and how it all went down, and then a couple more interviews to finish it off. But it was a great week, and I encourage you to check out our Facebook page, CCB Health and Fitness, to see and hear some of the sounds and sights from that week. So first up, Coach Mary Malcolmson. She happens to be our coach for Team Ontario, and we had a little sit-down chat with her. All right, everybody. So it's Ryan. We're here day two of the Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championships in Ottawa, Ontario. We're at our lunch break after draw one. I'm playing for Team Ontario, as some of you know, and we're not going to talk about our third game. That wasn't so good. And I'm sitting here with our coach of Team Ontario, Mary Malcolmson. I think I got it right.
Yes, you did.
Awesome. So I thought, while I've got Mary pulled aside for a few seconds, I should get her insight onto blind curling and how she got involved. So Mary, again, tell us maybe where you're from and how you sort of got involved in this whole blind curling aspect.
Well, we live in Brantford, but we still curl in Dundas because that's where we started curling. And when we retired, we happened to drop by the club one day, and there was a fellow there who was saying, "Oh, would you be interested in coaching blind curling?" And my husband said, "Well, yeah, I think we could do that." It turns out that I had taught with Gary, and he was my vice principal, and I was his music teacher.
Oh, so you were a teacher before this?
Yes.
That makes sense. You're very firm and authoritative with your team. It's very good. I like it. So what did that entail? Like, what was the first steps when you were coaching?
Well, we had to figure out how to do this because we didn't know anything about it. We had somebody who had been coaching for a long time show us the ropes, and eventually we figured out how to do it.
Yeah, and was it pretty easy to get things rolling, or did you find at first you were, like, did Gary, I think you were talking about Gary from our team, Team Ontario.
Yes.
Yeah, did he sort of come in and say, "This is what I need," or did you had to figure it out together as a team?
Well, Gary had been working with somebody already, so he was pretty well established as a player. Yeah. And we just kind of had to fit ourselves into working with him and figuring out how to work with him and the others. And every curler has a different style, and you have to adapt to that style.
Yeah, and I was just going to ask you, you know, your first, the first things that you learned, and I guess that's one of the first things, is that every type of vision loss is different, and how to adapt to that, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, each player sees differently. Some slide out for delivery, and with those, my husband, who's the guide, will put the broom down in the line of delivery, from the hack to the broom, and then the curler slides out to the near broom.
Yeah, and
So I know me, that's what I would do. And then Gary, who has no vision, he would go a little bit by sound as well. Like Bill would, I guess explain how Bill does that with Gary.
Gary knows pretty well where he's aimed, and Bill just makes sure that his shoulders are in the right direction, that the rock is in the right place, and then Gary just slides out the way he usually does.
Yeah. I guess one last question or so. So how long have you been curling yourself? I know Bill's been curling quite a while. Have you been in this for a while? Or
we started curling in 1988.
Wow, okay. So you've got a good background you've seen a lot of curlers.
We have seen a lot of curlers.
An honest answer, not biased because, you know, you're our coach or anything. You know, compared to your first initial impressions when you heard blind curling to what you see now, you know, was there a bit of that apprehension at the beginning where you weren't sure of the quality, but now you kind of see how blind curlers can perform at pretty high levels?
Well, I didn't know what to expect. And when I saw what was happening, I thought, wow, these guys are good.
Yeah, and I think we appreciate that. But I think what we appreciate, too, is the fact that our coaches and our guides, you know, they expect the same out of us as if you were coaching any other team. And so, that's why we like Mary, and she's a great coach. And you've just received a certification recently. Your
last year.
Yeah, yes. What is that?
I had to take courses that from Curl Canada.
Yeah.
And the coaching, and there's the practical, and then there's theory and other things.
Yeah, so you're OCA certified or what? I'm not sure what
yes.
Awesome, yeah.
I guess it was Curl Ontario.
Curl Ontario, awesome. Yeah, so when she comes out and says, you know, you need to do A, B, and C, we need to listen. So anyways, I thought I'd get a little bit of insight from one of our coaches, who better than Mary? So that's Mary. Thanks, Mary, and hopefully our week continues along smoothly.
I hope so too.
All right, thank you.
All right, so we're here with another interview with one of our curlers at the 2018 Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championships, and I'm just going to let him introduce himself, and we'll go from there. So, name, rank, serial number? No, like, give us your name, where you're from.
Norm Lyons, I'm the coach for Team Manitoba, and the team is from Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Awesome. How long have you been a coach for that team?
I've been coaching this team for the last 3 years. Actually, I've been involved with the coaching along with our guide. We both got our coaching certification 2 years ago. Our skip is also a coach. So there's three coaches here, two that are on the ice, and myself that I'm behind the glass.
And how did you get involved with vision impaired curling?
My involvement with blind or vision impaired curling started back in 1967, back at the Deer Lodge Curling Club in Winnipeg. It was known then as the Winnipeg Blind Curling Club, organized through the executive of the Deer Lodge Curling Club. We were there for about 7 years, and then unfortunately, as the coaches aged and retired, we started to work on developing our own coaching. And to say that the curling in Winnipeg has actually been going on since 1954 was when it started, but I got involved in 1967.
And, you know, back then, how was vision impaired curling same or different than it is now?
Much different. There wasn't the technical stuff. It was more recreational. Basically, it was get in the hack, work on learning your turns, hit the broom. Of course, in those days, back in the 60s and 70s, the old corn brooms were most in play. And then, of course, the rink rats came in. The push brooms didn't come in until, of course, a little later on in the late 70s, early 80s.
And because I've been curling, I guess, since 1998, but the rink rats, are they the horsehair brushes?
Yes.
And I don't know if they use
them. Well, no, actually, the rink rats were more with cloth on the old, like on the old corn brooms.
Oh, that's what those are. Okay, yeah, yeah, I've seen yeah. those. And a lot of times now people use them just as delivery.
They're using synthetic with the synthetic heads now. You hardly see any more of the horsehair or those type of brooms anymore. They're not really that much in play.
Yeah, and I was just telling you before we went on air, I've got to go to the pro shop here at the Ottawa Curling Club to get some new curling gloves. And it's amazing because when I was here in 2011, the shoes I still wear, I bought here. And even if I were to walk in that pro shop now, the technology, how that's changed. I mean, have in vision impaired curling, have you seen any way that technology has helped, or do you guys use any technology, or you kind of keep it bare bones?
Well, initially, when I started, it was bare bones. Most of our curling team that's here, they don't use the lights or anything that where a lot of the other teams do. The only one that actually that uses a light is I went back to using it this year myself.
Right.
Later on in the season. Because it works better for me than the broom. So yeah, mostly with our team, it's voice command or the broom at the near end for shooting for the other guys.
And that's interesting you bring that up, because again, when I was here in 2011, I used the light as well, and I don't anymore. I also use the broom at the hog line, and I think pretty soon it's going to have to move in a little bit. But I noticed when I was out there, it seems like there's less lights out there. Do you find that, or is that just maybe the teams that are here?
I think that there are fewer lights being used, because I think as people's vision changes, the lights aren't as effective as they used to be for some people. For me, that hasn't changed. My vision hasn't changed since day one. Basically, if it has, it's very minimal.
And I guess sort of back to the roots of where you got involved. Before you got involved with vision impaired curling, like what had you had any exposure? It sounds like a plague. Any exposure to somebody with vision loss, or were you coming in at pretty fresh and open to what that all entailed?
Well, the peers in my day back in the 60s were mostly folks that I went to school with, or when I was involved with when I joined the CCB club in Winnipeg, which was in 1966, that's where I really, really got involved with the vision impaired community, was in 1966 through CCB Winnipeg and District Club, and got involved with things that were CCB back then. There was curling and bowling and that was going on. So I got involved in those activities as well. So actually, I guess really sports I got involved with back in the early 60s with bowling in the late 50s, early 60s. So yeah, and then the curling sort of came in after that.
Nice. Well, you don't look a day over 20 there.
Thank you very much.
That's right. Why it's great. You're in a room full of vision impaired people, and we're like, everybody looks great because everybody just looks fuzzy to us. So.
Well, you know what? I tell the world I'm 67 going on 21, if that's of any importance. But yeah, that's just how it works.
Well, there's so many questions, but I can only, put so much length of a video on our internet here. But one of the questions you kind of led into is, I'm 38, and our other second/sweeper on our team, Emily, is 28. And I think there's a couple other that are in and around my age. But, if we look around, the generation that's curling in this Bonspiel is, let's say, on average, over 50. Would I be safe to say that?
I think you're pretty close.
Yeah.
You're pretty close.
The question that really I was pondering this week is, curling in general, I know in our hometown it's kind of declining a bit, and they rely on the Olympics to really boost it back up. But in terms of vision impaired curling, do you guys have any thoughts or any? I want to get other people's suggestions or thoughts on how they think we can get youth back involved in the sport, even sighted youth, but especially even visually impaired youth, if you have any thoughts on that at all.
It's very, very difficult because of the shall we say, the change, our societal change.
Yeah.
When I think back to the 60s and 70s, in terms of what activities there were, you didn't have You didn't have a lot of the technological stuff that you have now. So, I mean, you've got, and you've got, it doesn't matter what community you're looking at. They're going on, they're surfing the net, they're looking for things as to what, things that pique their interest. Yep. Whereas back in the day, you didn't have that. I mean, the only way you found out about it was if through newsletters, through news lines,
like word of
mouth. Yeah, word of mouth. You know, that was how the vision impaired community would find out about stuff. Is, you know, like you would encounter somebody from the vision impaired community that you knew, and you'd say, "By the way, are you aware that there is this type of activity? Are you interested?" And either yes or no. And if no, I mean, fine. So you moved on to something else. But if they were, well, this is happening. Yeah. Well, when? Yet. Well, why don't you come out and try? And that's how it was then. Now, as I say, it's with the media being the way it is, and we're here through the auspices of Manitoba Blind Sports Association, and like we have a Facebook page where we're promoting our sports through Facebook and through Twitter and all that kind of stuff, and also, we're trying to encourage youth. It's very, very hard to get the younger community involved because they don't know about it. And the other things that we find out too is when you're talking about sport activities, and if you want to try and get the young kids, like early teens, you know, and up, and sometimes you run into situations whereby you're talking to them and you talk to the parents. And I guess the parents are concerned about safety issues, you know, I'm really afraid if my child goes out there to participate, is he going to be okay, or is he or she, or if something happens, are they going to get hurt? What and how is that going to be? And so, you know, these are all the things that we need to address and try and promote. No, hey, this is a safe thing to do. There's checks and balances in place to make sure that all is good.
Well, and you hit on that. So I think, you know, I'm here as Team Ontario, but also on behalf of the CCB, I run their health and fitness program. And I really was excited for this week because it's 35 to 40 blind visually impaired people that are captive audience, you know, that we can get their stories, but also we can demonstrate, like you said, it's a safe sport. It's a sport that, blind people of all, like any vision, can do, right? With totally blind individuals, other individuals with certain vision loss. So yeah, I mean, we've got a great demonstration of it this week. So how, I guess, last question or so, how's your team doing so far?
Manitoba is 1-2. Okay. We lost our first two games. We won our game yesterday afternoon. Right now we're on the sheet with against Team Alberta. Nice. When we went into this interview, Alberta was leading 2-1. So.
Okay. Well, and we play, Team Ontario plays Alberta later today, and we're 2-2, so it's going to be a big jumble, so it should be interesting. So I thank you, Norman, for your time and your insight. I think it's great to get, you know, an insight of where the state of visual impaired curling is across Canada and how we can really get people continued to be involved. So I guess any last thoughts on vision impaired curling? What would you tell somebody who's thinking about trying it?
I encourage any vision impaired person that's looking for an activity, not only for if a competitive type of thing to be as good as they can be, but it's also for the social aspect of it. Events like this, I think, are very, very important because it brings everybody from coast to coast together. They interact both on the ice and off the ice, and I think that's very, very important for our vision impaired community.
You got it, Norm. It's very social, and I think that's the key, that we can get some of the younger generation off the iPads, as I'm filming this on an iPad, and out socializing on great games like curling. So thanks a ton, Norman. Good luck the rest of the way, and yeah, let's continue to have some fun.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
So there you heard from Norm Lyons from Team Manitoba and also Coach Mary from Team Ontario. And we've got one more interview coming up for you to let you know how the week unfolded. but let's just listen to a little bit of the sights and the sounds of some blind curling, a curling shot, hear the communication as things go along. It was a great week, a super close competition. It went to a couple playoffs, basically shortened playoffs to determine who's going to go to the final. And I'll recount that here after our last interview.
Good weight. Good weight.
Good weight.
As you can hear, there's quite a bit of communication going on during a curling shot. And, you know, just listening to this, you really wouldn't notice that it's blind visually impaired curling. You would just think this is just standard curling. People calling what they think the weight is. And the weight is basically how fast the rock is coming down the ice. You know, people who are not so familiar with curling, they'll watch the game and they'll hear the yup or the hurry hard or, you know, all the yelling, but there is rhyme and reason to that, and usually that's the communication between the sweepers who are generally in charge of the weight, how fast the rock is coming down the ice, and they communicate that with the skip, the person in charge at the other end. And some of that yelling as well, the yup, the hurry, the on, the off, that's from the skip basically trying to make sure that the rock is coming down in an appropriate line. So a little bit of the communication you can hear in any generally curling rink across the country. So as I said, it was a really, really awesome week. And the reason I really enjoyed it, besides the fact that, you know, we got to curl all week and meet amazing people with lots of great stories, is the fact that nobody was out of this Bonspiel really early. So we played 6 round robin games. There were 7 teams. Let's see if I can remember these teams off the top of my head. So we have Team Nova Scotia, Team Ontario, Team Manitoba, Team Alberta, Team BC, and Team Canada from Kelowna. And I'm missing somebody. Uh-oh. Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan? Yeah, Team Saskatchewan. Yes, as well. So trying to remember off the top of my head. So yes, we had 7 teams and we all played 6 games, so 6 8-end games, which are roughly 2-hour games. And by the end of the week, it was super duper close. So Team Canada got a bye to the final because they had a 4-2 record. And then there was a whole slew of us at around 3-3. So Team Ontario was at 3-3, and a lot of the others weren't in around that as well. So what happened is we had a couple shortened playoff games, and I won't recall off the top of my head the exact matchups, but I know for sure Team Ontario, we took on Team Nova Scotia in our first playoff game, and we were victorious, thankfully, and we moved on and played Team Alberta in the semifinals, I believe that was, yes. And that got us to the finals. Anyways, there was a lot of curling. More, we basically packed in as many games as could possibly work in that scenario, just because it was so very close. And that's amazing. You know, you don't ever want to be 0-5 or 0-6 and be that team that's just out of it, because it's just disheartening, right? And curling is a social sport, and nobody wants, we all want to win, but nobody wants to just trounce another team. Because we've all been on that side of being trounced. So I was really impressed with the fact that everything was really
close and tight, and everybody had had a good chance going into later in the week. So the way it all kind of shook out was, as I mentioned, Team Canada got a bye to the finals. Team Ontario played Team Alberta in the semifinals, and Team Ontario came out on top in a very, very close game. And Team Ontario took on Team Canada in the finals. Very last game came down to the very last shot, or the second last shot, I guess. And if you go to our Facebook page again, you can check that out. Essentially, what happened is Team Ontario, we missed our last shot by just a couple inches, which gave Team Canada the win, and they didn't have to throw their last shot. But yeah, Team Canada repeated as champions. So Team Canada are from Kelowna, BC, and they repeated as champions. Team Ontario came in second. Team Alberta came in third. And I believe Team Saskatchewan came in, won the consolation finals. But it was an amazing, amazing week of curling. Lots of great folks involved. My initial idea was to sit down with every single team and have lots of different interviews, but I guess, unfortunately, I wasn't only able to capture a handful of interviews that we're sharing with you today, and there was a lot of shorter snippets of video and audio that you can catch, again, on the Facebook page, just because it was such a jam-packed week. You know, we just didn't have the time between games and after games to really hunt people down, because especially after the games, people were getting ready for dinner and just you know, they're tired. There's a lot of sweeping involved in an 8-end game, and you just compile that day after day after day. And by the end of the week, it was pretty interesting. You know, I've been involved in a lot of competitive sporting events, and this one for sure, it rivaled some of them in the fact that, you know, by the end of the week, people were pretty tired, and both physically and mentally, right? There's a lot of stress involved. You know, everybody wants to do well. So mentally, you're kind of stressed out and tapped out by the end of the week. So overall, the impressions that came about from the 2018 Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championships were positive. I think everybody had a great time. I think the fact that everybody was in the bond spiel really close up until the end, it was really engaging. So many great stories along the way, and if you were there and I didn't get to talk to you, I apologize. I tried to get around to at least introduce myself and make myself known to everybody, because I wanted to capture as much of your stories as possible. But certainly, it was a pleasure to meet everybody and hear all the stories and all the journeys that everybody has coming to these championships. You know, some people have just been curling their entire lives. Some people are fairly new to curling. It was an amazing mishmash of curlers, coaches, guides, and certainly support crews as well. We had a lot of cheering squads along the way. So that's kind of the recap of the 2018 Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championships. Team Canada victorious, and so they will return as defending champions. And I'd like to end the podcast with a little bit longer interview, but a great interview with Natalie and Roger Morin. They're from Alberta. Really class acts. They are kind of the legends of Western blind curling. They're really cornerstones, figureheads in blind curling out in the West Coast. And, you know, it really is about getting the next generation out curling and really promoting that. Blind visually impaired curling is certainly a high-end activity. So sit back and enjoy this last interview. And, you know, if you're interested in curling, if you're curious about curling, if you want to be hooked up with a club nearest to you and you're not sure how, reach out to me and we'll make it happen. So ccb.healthandfitness@gmail.com. We're going to close out with this interview. Enjoy, and hopefully we'll see everybody again next year at the 2019 Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championships. Okay, everybody. So we are here again, the end of day two, the Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championships. As I was just discussing with my two guests, we've determined that video quality doesn't have to be as awesome, but as long as we have good audio quality. So hopefully this turns out. So I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. And I was told that you two are a father-daughter duo that I need to talk to. So ladies first, introduce yourself and where you're from.
I am Natalie Morin from Edmonton, Alberta, and right. Skip of Team Alberta.
Awesome.
And you are?
Roger Morin from Edmonton, Alberta, and I'm third on the team in Alberta.
Wait. And you're Natalie's dad?
Yes.
Awesome. And now, here's just a question that just came to my mind. So, does he really let you call the shots, Natalie?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
A father, you know, I mean, we all fathers that.
I've had to pay my penance, though.
Oh, okay.
We've done this together a long time. I started when I was very young and used to beg my dad and Corey and their bunch to let me at least sweep with them at the Western.
Right.
Which is our Western Canadian Blind Curling Championships, which is usually about a month after this.
Right.
And there was about 2 years where Corey, believe it or not, was the no. He was the no. We're going to keep going with four, no designated sweeper. We're going to keep doing it on our own. And then finally he gave in and let me do it. And I did that for a number of years and then took my own team to the Western, and then we kind of morphed into this.
Yeah, because that's what I heard you guys created. You created the whole the Western Blind Curling Championship.
Right, yes.
Yeah. And
46, 45 years ago, yeah. I guess now.
Oh, wow, really?
Lots of longevity for something that it's is solely done by the Lions Clubs. That's how the Western Canadian Blind Curling Association raises their money, is solely from Lions donations. So we're pretty proud of that, to sustain that for 40-some years, when Lions clubs are dwindling, membership is dwindling. And it gets harder every year, but we keep doing it to sustain it for almost 50 years. I feel it's pretty impressive.
With the Lions being so involved, I mean, you've mentioned that, so that's, I guess, one obvious answer, but how else do you attribute the longevity, the success? I mean, with curling in general sort of taking a bit of a nosedive, you know, but you guys have been doing this for 40-some-odd years, like, how do you keep it going? How do you keep it fresh?
I think it's kind of like a camaraderie, I guess. It's almost like family. You get together once a year, you only see these people once a year, and everybody looks forward to coming out again the next year. So I think that's how it's kept going all these years.
There's a definite distinct group of people that are very dedicated to seeing this succeed, and seeing this succeed to a level past this, i.e. Paralympics.
Yeah, and do you want to touch on that? Like where are you at with that? Like, somebody asked me that question today, and I didn't have the answer.
Unfortunately, we just need a little more power in the remainder of the country, like Quebec, Prince Edward Island. The Paralympic Committee has also suggested that we need at least one other continent involved, probably two, before they'll even look at it, which is kind of sad, but we're working towards that. There's a group of people here that have gone over to Scotland.
Yes, yeah.
And they've tried to cultivate something there. Hopefully those folks are dedicated enough that maybe they can stick with it. And maybe in our lifetimes we can see that happen.
At least get it in as a
demonstration.
Something. That would be a good start.
But is the barriers are just numbers? Like, it's just a numbers game?
Pretty much, right?
Numbers
now,
and proximity numbers. Like, we don't have enough people spread over out. The wheelchair folks are a good example. I mean, I commend what they do. There's a lot more vision impaired curlers than there is wheelchair curlers.
Yeah.
It's just the wheelchair curlers have participation in more continents, more cities, and it is a more visible, understandable minority, I feel.
So I come from, just a bit of background, because it's not about me, but some relevance to the conversation. So I come from a triathlon background, so swim, bike, run, and it's kind of like it's not a huge sport. There's not a ton of numbers, but it got into the Paralympics this past year in 2016. But it's the same sort of thing in terms of, you know, what is a more recognizable disability, and it's not to say one disability is, you know, more or less than the other, but I think when you're garnering public support, somebody, you know, missing an arm and a leg or in a wheelchair, it's more impactful than, you know, I'm looking at both of you right now, and, you know, you look like lovely fuzzy faces to me, but I mean, none of us look, quote unquote, blind, right?
Well, no, and of course, because I do a lot of competitive mainstream, like curling out of the vision impaired community, and have been very successful, and people just, they either don't know until I tell them, or they just forget. because I have very good mobility vision. I'm very lucky. I'm very fortunate that I'm one of the lucky ones. But to look at me, I function daily. Don't drive, obviously, but people don't know. They don't understand.
Well, and there's so differing levels, right? You know, like my vision is deteriorating. Some people I know here, their vision sort of went to a certain level and is stabilized.
And then stays there.
So, but it's hard because from one day to another, you could see less and somebody doesn't know that. So where one day you're not in a wheelchair and the next you are, there's almost more urgency to help that person who you immediately has impacted. Whereas what I find, and I'd love your opinion, is sometimes the more independent we try to be, the less it helps our advocacy sometimes. And I'm certainly a huge, I mean, my whole MO is about advocating and being independent. But do you guys find that in terms of maybe, is that a barrier in blind curling to get into the Paralympics? Is the fact that we, I guess for lack of a word, we don't look disabled enough maybe?
Well, at times, Ryan, yeah, I absolutely agree with that, because we do have, a lot of us are lucky enough to have good mobility, and, you know, we're here and, you know, we're able to travel, and some of us on our own, some with a wee bit of help, some more than others,
some
but
none,
you're absolutely right, because somebody walking down the street looking at me would never know.
And it's such a tricky thing, because again, it's not about comparing disabilities to disabilities, but it's about how do you advocate and say you can do things, but yet you still fit the bill that, you know, we could be a Paralympic sport, right? And, and like you guys have, I guess, lived that over the last little while. You know, I guess you're heavily involved in that.
Yes, the last 3 years they've been trying to get into that.
We need some help from the Canadian Curling Association and the World Curling Federation. We need them to get on board with what they're doing. We also need them to not, and I mean no disrespect to the wheelchair folks, but we need them to not treat us like the wheelchair people. And they are. They do. They don't think sighted people have any business being on the ice. And I'm almost adamant about that. Like, to compare the disabilities, I mean, the wheelchair curlers, we have a group of them that curl out of one of the clubs I play at home.
Yep.
And they have all kinds of folks that come out, help them that aren't in wheelchairs, that take them out to the hog line and they get all the rocks situated, which to me is no different than a sighted person out here making sure that nobody trips on rocks. And, you know, I just, but they don't think the sighted people have any business being out there, and I don't agree.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I think from the experience I've had talking to individuals who have curled with wheelies, we call them in our sport, wheelies, and they, you know, there's a lot of banter back and forth between disabilities, because I would assume the wheelchair curlers you curl with probably agree with you that you know, you're not putting them down by saying this is what we need, right?
But if you're going to compare the two, then why don't the wheelchair folks throw from the hack? Why do they throw from the hog line?
Exactly, right?
And, you know, to compare the disabilities and lump them together, and I think too many people in our society do that.
Yeah.
Oh, poor you. Well, you must all be the same. We'll just lump you all in together. Well, it's not always the case.
Well, and I mean, I love that conversation, right? Because a lot of what we try to do here at the Health Fitness Program is really kill stereotypes, right? Because you guys are experienced, like massively experienced curlers who I'm gathering back home, you know, are respected as great curlers, right? Nobody looks at you, and again, I'm guessing here, as blind people first, they look at you as Roger and Natalie, who
as a curler,
as curlers, right?
No, you're right.
And that's what we try to promote here. So that Paralympic conversation is, I mean, we go on for that forever. So I really appreciate that insight, you know, and some of the obstacles we face, because that's a question we were getting. I guess one of the, if we took to turn a page, so because you guys are so involved in the game, you have been for so long, youth, this is the question I wanted to pose to people. What is your take on getting more blind youth into the game, or do you have a thought on that?
Well, I'll tell you, I thought actually something that's been on my curling bucket list for a number of years was to go out and get my credentials to teach anybody, blind people, kids, adults, whatever. So I went and did that, and that's been fantastic. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to, but we did, my dad and Mandy did a clinic in Beaumont with a bunch of vision impaired people to try and get them
they were all young kids. Some of them were high school, some of them were, you know, younger than that, grade school, some of them.
We've had ASRAB come out a number of times with some interested young people. So hopefully that kind of sticks.
Well, and again, if you guys are sort of respected in your community as authorities in the game, you know, blind or not, you're going to be there to teach youth of any ability. And
absolutely.
Then for certain, you know, I know the challenge we find getting them involved in any activity is getting school boards on board, etc. And I think what you guys are doing is awesome as ambassadors of the game and you know, killing stereotypes that, you know, blind people are, you know, we're helpless, right? And we need people to do things for us. And you guys are here curling at high levels, and you have been for a really long time. And that's really what we love to share. So okay, I'm trying to think of any further questions I have, because it's, you guys are so, you're legends, right? So
yeah.
That's what I was told.
Oh, my
so.
God.
Well,
Corey, somebody lied to you.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap it up soon, but I guess moving forward, right, what would you, I guess, Roger, you first, what would you like to see? Any thoughts on this bond school moving forward? Any status quo, keep it moving in the direction we got, you know?
I'd like to see it keep on going the way it is, but, you know, I would like to see some of the other provinces, I hope to see some of the other provinces involved in it before I'm done.
Yeah. So Quebec and PEI, if you catch any of this, blind curling, come out, try it, do it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And so I guess the key there, if we go back to our Paralympic conversation, is numbers, right? It's
right, yes.
You know, and I'm not one to guess people's ages, but I've been told that the age range of this bond school is up there a little bit, right? That the generation, there's not a lot of the younger generation here this week.
This is what we need, is a lot more young curlers coming in.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Participating in it. Yeah.
Well, maybe that's the thing we can all tackle together, is finding a way to get the next generation going. And I know, you know, Curling Canada is banking on the Olympics to do that, right? They get, we're here, the home of Team Holman, who's going to the Olympics, and I guess that's what Curling Canada uses to spark the next generation. So hopefully here at the Canadian Visually Impaired Curling Championships, we can show them that curling is a game for everybody, and it's certainly a game that visually impaired people can do on a very high level. So,
yeah. Curling is something that you can do from 8 to 80.
That's right. And curling is a game that anybody can beat anybody on any given day. I've beat some of the best people in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and it's one of those, it's those levelers, right? It's you and the rock and the ice and the weight, right? Vision is, let's say, an obstacle, but so is somebody who has a bad knee and can't throw out of the hack, kind of.
That's
thing,
right.
So you just, it's all about where the rock ends up at the end of the day.
At
so
the other end. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I guess last question, then we'll go on. So end of day two, how are you guys doing so far, Team Alberta?
We're hanging tough. We're hanging tough. Yeah. We're 3-1.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, we had a bad game yesterday morning, but other than that, we're doing all right. We're right in the thick of it, so we're happy about that. All we want to do is make the final three, and we're good.
Yeah, so Montier was hoping for that. We were 2-2. We had
a bit of a rough day today.
So we'll turn it around. We're yet to face you guys.
Ontario and Alberta tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not sure if I'll be. Because I'm second and designated sweeper, so alternate. So I'm not sure which I'll be doing, but we look forward to meeting you guys tomorrow. And thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you, Ryan.
You
That's
guys
awesome. I've
go
been
back
hearing
and,
about you all week.
Well,
you're a legend.
No, you guys are awesome. Great ambassadors. So we look forward to seeing you. You guys can go back and have your beers.
All right.
Awesome. Cheers.
Good deal.
Thanks,
Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.